guys.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
It's Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Tom, Jalen Ramsey had a lot to say about various quarterbacks around the league. He said, "You don't suck." How does it feel then?
To not suck. To not suck?
Yeah.
I never want to suck, so I don't want to be in that category.
Tom, for him to come out and trash talk about Gronk, I mean, Gronk hears that. How does that play in the locker room? How does that play leading up to you?
I think it just depends. It depends.
What do you think of Ramsey as a player?
Yeah. He's a great player. Yeah, he's very talented, big, fast, very rare talents, rare abilities, size, speed. They match him up with, the top receiver from time to time. And, he holds his own versus everybody. So he's a great young player.
That's Brady on Ramsey. Back to your phones as promised. Our friend Dan in Quincy joins us to lead off the hour. Hi, Daniel.
First thing on Matt Patricia, I find it ironic that now everyone's ripping on the guy when you guys blamed every Super Bowl loss and maybe the other playoff games on the defense, and this guy never got an ounce of criticism, ever. I called repeatedly your show and advocated he got fired last year after that performance against Philadelphia, and all you could do was blame Belichick and him not playing Butler. Never got one ounce of criticism, and now he's getting all the blame for one game, and I deservedly so.
Danny, once again, ahead of the curve. We'll see how it plays out.
And on the Jacksonville Jaguars, I put them ahead of Houston. I have more people putting Houston in the Super Bowl than, or at least getting in the championship game than Jacksonville. Why wouldn't you put Jacksonville back in the championship game? Their philosophy last year, and they got ripped for it, you guys ripped them, was the same exact philosophy the Patriots instituted against the Rams in 01. Come out early, get them early, beat the crap out of them, and then hang on for dear life. The Rams caught up and tied the game. Jacksonville had the ball on the 38-yard line, Patriots 38-yard line, down four. And on second and 10, Malcolm Butler ran one back. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Kyle Van Noy, the guy that Murray loves to beat up, got the sack on Bortles. So they weren't too far off from what the Patriots did in 01.
So you ask, how come people don't take Jacksonville more seriously? Don't you know the answer?
No, I know what you're going to say. It's the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not a coach.
The quarterback did not implode last year. He had the ball on the 38.
I agree. It wasn't his fault.
He didn't throw an interception.
I agree.
They got a sack. A thing that I keep talking about every single week with this team. Get quarterback disruption on a guy, and the pass defense will get exponentially better.
Okay, Danny.
You're always focusing on the coverage. They got a sack. Van Noy got the sack.
I think it starts with coverage, Danny. I do. We can agree to disagree. On this team, it starts with coverage. They don't dial up individual pressures like you want them to. It doesn't. You got to cover first. Last week was a great example. But on Patricia, let's see how it all plays out. If he looks like the bozo that he looks right now out in Detroit and this Patriots defense improves with not, they've made some personnel talent upgrades, but not a ton. It's not like they signed Lawrence Taylor here in the offseason. So if Brian Flores gets more out of this unit and it looks more aggressive and plays faster, then we can look at Patricia a certain way. That's fair. The thing about how can people don't take Jacksonville seriously, it's the quarterback and the coach. I mean, and maybe that's a faulty way to look at it. We all just go quarterback, coach. But if you're doing that, the reputation of Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien over Marone and Bortles is not even close.
Listen, I mean, to me, if Jacksonville wants to win a Super Bowl, it's ultimately going to come down to those two guys. I just don't know if the Patriots are what they used to be.
But if you're ranking coaches, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, but if we're talking quarterback and coach, where would we have put Nick Foles and Doug Peterson?
Exactly. I know. So it's a faulty logic, but we sort of fall into it. Who would you rather have as a coach, Doug Marone or Bill O'Brien?
Marone. Bill O'Brien.
Doug Marone.
So again,
sorry, I've seen enough.
And I say it without being convincing. Marone surprised me a little bit in that game last year, at least the way it started. At the end, it kind of deteriorated again, but not as bad as O'Brien. I don't know. Maybe Marone's better than we give him credit for.
Yeah, maybe he is.
He sounds like a boob, but maybe he's a better coach than we give him credit for.
And we'll give you some first-class boobery here coming up from Doug Marone. Melvin in Boston on that list on Sports Illustrated. Yes, Melvin.
Hi, I agree with you that Kyrie is definitely a top 10 player because of his scoring ability and handle when he's healthy, but I think Draymond Green is greatly undervalued overall when it comes to things like this. I think he's right where he needs to be, given his value to his team, the fact that he's worked so hard to get where he is, and that he's hands down like the gap filler when it comes to everything that the guys who score the basketball don't do. I believe that Kevin Durant is a great defender, but I also think that Draymond Green needs to get his props when it comes to playing so many different positions.
No, he should be, obviously, Melvin. And so, look, how hard he had to work to get where he got to should factor. That's, what does that mean? That's nothing. This is about the best players. And gap fillers? Gap fillers should not be top 15, 20 players. They shouldn't be. They're gap fillers.
I mean, even when the team that he plays for is clearly that good because of him.
Yes.
I mean, without him in the finals against LeBron, they lost the game he didn't play in and overall the finals because LeBron and those guys went up on them in that series.
So if we're ranking role players, he's number one by far. But when you start ranking with some of the scores and the elite talent in the league, he doesn't belong on the list.
No, not even close, please. What did he shoot last year from three? 30%? Like, again, this is the love affair because he's a grinder. He's a gritty player who plays hard and plays tough. Those guys are a dime a dozen. The fact that Draymond Green is in the... What's he, 13th? Is he
13th? 13.
That is...
I believe he was 10 on Bill and Ted's excellent list last year.
Okay. Okay. I'm glad to know they demoted him three spots.
Connor in Malden on the Pats. Hi, Connor.
Hey, how you doing? So, Matt, I heard you say yesterday that the Patriots are not a top five team in the league. But you only mentioned, I believe it was the Vikings at one, and you said the Rams at two.
I took it back.
What did you say?
I took it back. I said, no, they are in the top five. I mean, if you're going off of week one, they're in the top five.
We call that a take correction, Connor. He's corrected the take.
Okay, but do you only think the Vikings and Rams are better than the Patriots, or do you think there are more teams?
I think based on week one, I'd put Kansas City up there too.
Oh, God, are you serious?
Yeah, I am. I am very, very serious.
Is it Weasley, Connor, for me to say, and you I'm asking you honestly, I'm not like busting your chops or anyone's chops. If I just say, I think like they should be the third or fourth best team in the league, but I don't know who 1, 2, and 3 are. Is that Weasley? Do I have to name 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah. No. Yeah. You don't have to name 1, 2, and 3, but you need to name like three teams above them that you think, oh, this team can beat the Patriots, can, you know, 8 out of 10 times.
No, so then I need to name 1, 2, or 3.
8 out of 10 times?
Yeah. Well,
why do they have to beat them 8 out of 10 times?
No. So, I mean, because generically it feels like because of Belichick and Brady, they're going to be right up there.
Sure.
At the end in the final four. So they're there, but the rest of that roster is, I'm sorry, it's not an elite roster. It's not a best in the league kind of roster. It's not. So they feel to me like they're somewhere in the top five, but I don't know who's going to emerge, but someone will. Right, so I don't know who the good. You never know. No one knew Philly was going to be that kind of team last year, but someone always emerges who's the best. So it's like, I know it's unacceptable, but
the take cake is still baking.
No, it's a free.
No, but that's. I want to eat my take. I want to have my take and eat it too. I do. I want to say they're top. They're the fourth best team in the league, but I don't want to give you 1, 2, and 3 because I don't know who they are. But someone will become 1, 2, and 3. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah. And I don't think that's a bad way to necessarily look at it either. Now that I think of
it's Weasley.
It is, but you know what? Like, again, if you ask me, based on roster construction and and coaching and everything else, who has the highest ceiling this year in the league? I don't put the Patriots first. In fact, I'm not sure I really have them in the top 3 or 4.
Oh, here we go. So now they are 5.
Well, maybe. Again, now look, some teams opened my eyes and surprised me. Minnesota's loaded. I'm sorry. They are. And I know what happened on Sunday. I still think the Saints are going to be good.
Okay, so, and there's a team that no one's even mentioning that's going to emerge and is going to be there.
Correct.
And it's going to be a number one or number two seed. They're going to be in a conference championship game. And you're going to say, boy, look at the so-and-sos. And we have no idea who it is. Happens every year. And I'm not saying like they're not legit. Philly, by the time they got to the end of last year, was a legit, you know, elite team. Let's see them sustain it. I don't know if they can. But that was no fluke, given the way they were last year.
But these, this is now registering with me. These rankings, Maz, it's after 1 week. You can't put the Saints ahead of the Patriots right now.
No.
And I have the Saints winning the Super Bowl this year, but for 1 week, you can't when their defense looked like Rob Ryan was in charge of it again.
Agreed. No, agreed.
Really want to. I just heard what you said.
No. He just said that you know, he doesn't want to name 1, 2, and 3, but if you do it that way, there's going to be someone that emerges out of the woodwork. And I said, I still think the Saints could be one of those teams. That's all I said.
Hmm. I think you want to put the Saints ahead of the Patriots.
As badly as I would like to, Murray, I can't do it after week one. You'll note, however, that even though they won, I don't put Baltimore ahead of the Patriots.
But well, nor should you, because they beat up the Bills, who might not win a game.
But you kind of want to. But you kind of want to.
It crossed my mind.
John in the truck, go ahead, on the Jags. Jonathan. Jonathan's comment line says, Doug.
Hey, guys, sorry. Oh, no, go ahead. I'm good.
Go ahead.
So, guys, what I'm thinking is we're thinking of putting Jalen Ramsey on Gronk, right?
Yes.
The thing that we're not considering, though, is we got Doug Moore on as the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I said to the call screener, this might actually fall right into our lap. If they put Ramsey on Gronk, Doug Moron is going to sit there and double-team him and probably bring a safety down in protection just to give a little bit more assistance on Gronk. My argument, though, falls apart because I don't think we have any other receivers on
Bingo.
That are actually – exactly. So this is where, you know, McDaniels earns his keep to sit there and game plan and scheme something where Brady is dinking and dunking and opening up the offense underneath. If Gronk is able to put his ego in check and allow them to use him as a decoy, this may fall into our lap. What do you guys think?
Okay, but again, decoy for who? I hate to keep coming back to that, but like, who's going to beat someone one-on-one? I suppose you could say James White. Maybe White gets 15 targets.
Definitely. I mean, he could.
But again, I look at Jacksonville and say, their linebackers are pretty good. Miles Jack can cover. Now, again, I don't know about the health factor. We had a caller earlier say that, you know, Miles Jack isn't, or he didn't practice or something this week, right? So, again, I'll see what it looks like. I'm just telling you, their personnel on defense versus the Patriots' personnel on offense, edge Jacksonville.
Okay, Doug Marone, head coach there in Jacksonville. He calls him Doug Moron?
Yeah, Moron.
That's a little strong.
Marone.
A little. Well, actually, I don't know. We'll see. Doug Marone with an all-timer yesterday on his conference call. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
But when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it, when that first opportunity comes and you're not able to prevail on that opportunity, then you know what? Then we have to go back out there and go about our business again, maybe with greater desire, greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on. I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
I'm sorry. We play that all the time.
It's an all-timer, though. It really
is. Every time I hear it, I laugh.
Urgency.
Just every time.
Coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it.
It gets me every time. The reporters.
I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on, I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency.
I'm sorry. I'll stop playing it.
Do you think he has like a disorder?
Like every time I laugh at it.
You know, like some people literally can't remember something that happened 60 seconds ago. Like there's something just not.
Oh, like, when hosts aren't listening. It's like, is that like.
But it's like a glitch in your brain. That there's actually.
Urgency.
Oh. I just
coach make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it.
That line's so underrated.
You should have known something was coming when he went there. It's like, uh-oh. Jeez, something's coming. So anyway, that's Doug Marone when he was at Buffalo.
I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, wouldn't be the word.
No, that's not it. No, give me a second.
Hold on, I'll come up with it.
I need a minute.
Just more of a urgency.
And you know his whole thing with the bologna sandwiches, right?
Oh, yeah.
But he'll eat it even if it's gone bad. Oh, no, you just fry it up if it's got that film on it. Like a hobo.
Well, that's what...
like, he's a hobo.
He's like, look, he almost came in here and beat the Patriots.
Right.
Like, I'm starting to wonder where he's like an idiot savant. Seriously. You know, like on the football field, it's just everything sort of like it crystallizes for him, but the rest of the world, it just doesn't compute.
Okay. So yesterday he does the conference call with the New England media. And I remember going over this last year where he said, and he was asked, you know, for the AFC Championship game, did you go back and look at some of those Giants games? Did Tom Coughlin bring you in and have you show you some film of those Giants games that, you know, that they beat the Patriots in those Super Bowls? You look at that, and he admitted last year that he never watches a Super Bowl. So this came up again on the conference call with New England media yesterday. This is a longer cut. We'll stop and start it, but this is sort of how it went.
Curious if you watched the Super Bowl last year.
No, I haven't.
Didn't. So did you get any sense of, and I'm sure you've seen clips of it, did you get any sense of the approach?
I haven't. I have not watched the Super Bowl.
So you're unaware of the Eagles taking a really no-holds-barred approach to beating the Patriots and not holding back at all?
That's them. I'm worried about our team.
Okay, so stop it there. So there he admits he doesn't watch the Super Bowl, and there was a point there to that question, which would aggravate me if it was Marone, if I were Marone, or it would be aggravated with myself. It's like, if you want to beat the Patriots, that's how you do it. You get into a key situation and you play with some balls. You don't hand it off to your running back into the center of the line four straight times on first down. And so that was sort of a shot at Marone. I don't know. I don't think he understood it. I don't think it registered with him. But whoever asked that question, that's definitely what he was driving at, because that's not what Marone did in that AFC title game. But anyway, the no Super Bowl thing was just too much. So I think it was Ben Volen of the Globe or someone went back to it.
Doug, you never watched the Super Bowl?
No.
Not even live?
No.
There's like over 100 million people in the country that watch the Super Bowl.
No, but, you know, I don't want to ask me. I got a question about if I saw Coach, wasn't it last year someone asked me about that I watched Coach Coughlin's Super Bowls? And I'm like, no.
So you should,
I don't know why everyone doesn't believe that.
you never watch it live?
No, I'm usually so pissed off. I can't handle it.
Was that even more so because of you guys got so close there last year?
No, I just always said, you know, hey, listen, I just don't watch it. That's why I watch enough tape during the year.
So, like, what was the last Super Bowl you did watch?
Probably when I wasn't coaching and I was allowed to gamble. Probably when I was like 12.
You just cut one, two. Oh, man, you guys should have smelled this. I had too much heavy cream in my coffee.
No, I never watched a Super Bowl. Pull my finger.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was happy. He was very happy with himself.
This guy's a boob.
Go on, Jim.
I have a little money on it. So, you guys write that. I'll probably get investigate.
So stop. So just hold on there. So, like, it's so you ask me, why don't I take the Jaguars seriously? Like, I should. Good team. They almost beat you. Marone's not the worst coach in the league. But then you listen to the guy for like 2 minutes. It's like, how do I do it? So then there was a good follow up question, Jimmy.
Watching the Super Bowl wouldn't help you guys prepare for this week's game?
I think our defense and offensive coaches obviously have watched it.
Okay, so stop.
Doug.
So, like, that's a serious thing. So, in all seriousness, I don't blame him, and I believe him that he doesn't watch the Super Bowl. I mean, do you think when Bill Belichick's not in the Super Bowl, he...
Yes, Bill watches it.
No.
At some point.
Oh, I bet he doesn't. I mean, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But it's not like he makes a point to... Hey, Linda, get in here. The game's about to start. Like, you think he's...
Can you pass the queso?
Make sure you bring Nike in here, too, our adorable little dog.
So I don't think... I bet there's plenty of times where Bill's not sitting down watching the Super Bowl. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. So I don't think... And I bet a lot of guys don't. I know a lot of players that could never watch ever... other. Matt Light said he never... And I believed him. I don't ever watch football. You know, duck hunting or whatever he's doing. That nut. You know, but so, like, I don't blame. I think it's entirely possible that Marone doesn't watch the Super Bowl or any other football. But to not watch the cut-ups, to say that, you know, you don't think watching the Super Bowl would help you for this week's game? He says our defensive and offensive coaches obviously have watched it. Well, why wouldn't you get in there? Like, you don't watch the cut-ups?
Maybe he's just not an analysis guy, you know? Maybe he's a Mike Tomlin type who just yells a lot and gets people motivated. Like, I just... It's, the guy really does come off as a boob.
Holy smokes! But the thing about, like, why wouldn't you sit in the film room with Coughlin and let Coughlin say to you, look, when they did this, we did that, and Belichick likes to do this in this situation. I've worked with him my entire life. I know what he likes. We watch. And so, like, as a head coach, how do you not have that intellectual curiosity, if nothing else, to demand to go in there and say, Tom, show me what you know? Like, how could you not?
Don't you think some of it is, and look, at least a little, I hope, that he's playing a little dumb.
Yes.
He's got to be playing a little dumb.
Like, I think part of this is like the everyman act. It has to be.
I mean, there's no way. Like, maybe this is how he deflects the media. I don't know. Maybe there's like a strategy to it. I told you, there's like an idiot savant element to this guy. Really, it's weird.
So what's the...
Otherwise, he sounds like he's like cranking up Louie and putting a lampshade on his head. Hey, guys. Oh, you ever have a rotten bologna sandwich?
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
There's more. You want to just pick it up real quick, Jimmy, so we can slide this in? Pick up the last part of it.
Doug, I got to be honest. I'm still intrigued by this Super Bowl thing.
You got to let it go, man.
So I'm curious. While the whole country gathers for parties and stuff, what do you do during the Super Bowl?
I usually just... I mean, is this on the record or off the record?
Whatever you want.
Off the record, I just you know, sit down and drink some beer and be miserable.
So, like, you don't go bowling or you don't have, like, an activity or anything? You just sit at home and don't watch the Super Bowl?
What makes you think a guy... Are you saying because I'm fat that I bowl? Is that what you're trying to say? I like bowling because I'm a fat guy? Seriously. I can't go out there for a jog? Maybe I go out for a run. How about if I go out there and run a marathon? You don't think I'm that guy?
You tell me. I left the question open-ended for you.
No, I'm not that guy. You know, when you aspire to go there and you're not there, it's something that... I just don't want to go through the whole season again in my mind of, you know, and not being there. That's the truth. Even when I was a player and even when I was a coach, you know, and obviously you guys know we get tickets. I just never, you know, even when I was a player, we'd always say, look, we're never going until we go. And I just kind of that's always stuck in my mind when I was a player. Hopefully one day that's what we'll work for. And then if not, you know, then I'll probably start watching.
Okay, so, like, that's the next thing? I have to, you know, take...
He's playing dumb. He's playing dumb.
And he's playing to the crowd. I mean, obviously
totally,
he's playing to the
totally.
Crowd.
Totally. I mean, look, I'm not telling you the guy's a rocket scientist, but he's not that dumb. Like, there's just no way. He couldn't have done what he did coming into Foxborough last year if he's as dumb as he sounds.
He almost had it. Almost had it and then lost his nerve at the end.
I mean, they were close. They should have won that
game.
It's
such a fine line, though. You know, it's like you got to thread the needle. So Atlanta gets into that spot and, you know, we got to keep throwing. We got to keep attacking. And they, you know, that was stupid. When you had a field goal there to win the Super Bowl. But no, we got to keep the mindset of keep attacking. Marone says, we got him. We can, you know, just be a little more conservative here. We'll hand it off to Fournette. That kills him. It's like, how do you get right in the middle there? How do you get, you know, the middle was Philly, and it's because they won. You know, they took their shots when it was smart to take their shots, and they held back when it was smart to hold back. But it's, you got to be perfect. And I don't know if this guy has him. He doesn't. He had the chance last year. So there's Doug Marone. The next big thing, we go back to your calls. So football, that basketball list if you want, right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, like, what was the last Super Bowl you did watch?
Probably when I wasn't coaching and I was allowed to gamble. Probably when I was, like, 12. But I had a little money on it. So, you guys write that. I'll probably get investigated.
That's our guy, Doug Marone. All right, back to your phones. Some leftover stuff on that SI basketball list and football, of course. So Chris and Medway waiting patiently to just weigh in on that SI list. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, what's going on? Long-time listener, first-time caller here. Hey, so I'm just reiterating the blasphemy behind that that one top 100 list. If we're going to place Al Horford that high up just based on his intangibles and Draymond Green, I mean, Marcus Smart might as well be number 10.
Exactly right.
Right, that's right.
So Terry Rozier was 83?
Something 82, like that. I think.
82. Would you rather have Terry Rozier on this team or Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart.
Well, I mean, I like Rozier's a more talented player, though.
So to me, it's about Kyrie. If Kyrie's healthy, I'd rather have Marcus Smart. He's a better compliment. Marcus Smart's a better fit for you and a better compliment for you if Kyrie's healthy and playing. If Kyrie's hurt, I think you need Terry Rozier.
Sure, yeah. Rozier's a more talented player.
Replace the scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, basically. But so, well, Horford's 16 and Marcus Smart's not on the list.
So, I mean, that's amazing to me that Rozier's 82, if you think about that, too, by the way. Like 30 teams in the league, right?
He'd be a top four player on every team.
Right, three.
Top three, right, top three, right. Felgram has math, top three player on every
team. I mean, think about that. Like, they got Rozier that high? I mean, that's up there.
Here's Mike in Woburn on the NFL. Hi, Mike.
That sound proves my point, without a shadow of a doubt, that you can win with a dumbass as a coach. That guy is barely breathing. He's Peter Griffin with a headset. That guy gets you to the AFC Championship game and puts you in a position where Tom Brady has to come from behind to win. Like, you can win with a dumb guy as a coach. We saw this. If Bill Polian didn't know that his quarterback had a spastic colon like you read about, a sock puppet would have gone 16-0 in 2012 there with the Colts. Remember when they benched Manning in game 15?
Yeah.
They were going undefeated. They were going undefeated. And Bill Polian's lips didn't move once while Caldwell coached that team. Not once. You can do it with a dumb coach. You got the Khaki brothers. One of them's up in Michigan now, and the other one in Baltimore. They're like the best guys. But they can't even, but the one in Baltimore can't even figure out the rule book, whether to complain about it or to copy it. They're all dumb. They're all dumb. We're so lucky that we've got the one guy here. I swear, Andy Reid, I swear Andy Reid listens to Paula Deen books on tape on that headset while he's, you know, going through the two-minute permutations on the sideline. He has no clue what's going on there. And my lasting, like, memory of freaking, what's his name there from Tennessee, who was there forever and then in L.A.?
Fisher.
Jeff Fisher is him in the AFC playoffs with boogersicles hanging off his beard. Dumb to brush him off his face.
So it is. We've talked about this all the time. The coaching issue in the league is so much worse than the quarterbacking issue. It's not even funny. It's not even close. Where you could, you know, Brady has a peer, at least one. There's 10 guys in the league that are elite guys. There's up and coming guys. And you look at the coaching ranks and, you know, Marone might even be a top 10 guy. I mean, think about it. If we went down the list of coaches, who you'd rather have? I mean, again, I ask you, Bill O'Brien or Doug Marone?
See, instinctively, I say O'Brien there, but based on results, you got to go Marone.
I'm going Marone.
Yeah, me too. And it's results. I mean, even if you just look last year, the Jaguars took the two games against the Texans, and the first one was, I think, the first or second game of the year, and they still had.
I bet if we did it, Marone's a top 10 guy.
He might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, again, like, it's reached that point. And so, you know what? Honestly, the more I think, that Jacksonville defense is legit. Okay, and he had them playing at a high level last year. Say whatever you want. To me, the bigger thing with Jacksonville is the quarterback. Like, I just can't get past that guy. I'm sorry, Blake freaking Bortles. But that, you know,
and a lot of those pieces on defense were there prior to Marone. Who was it? Was it Gus Bradley? Was that
Gus Bradley?
You know, he got some improvement there, so he has to be factoring in somehow.
No, they've got a nice roster defensively for sure. And whoever their offensive schemer is, maybe it's Marone. Maybe I got to, you know, give him more credit. Like, they schemed the crap out of that team at the end of the year. That, I mean, if you go back to the Pittsburgh week before they came here, that was brilliant. I mean, to get what they got out of Blake Bortles at the end of that season, that is coaching. So they coached his ass up, whether that's Marone or his offensive coordinator or his quarterback coach. They did do some stuff.
Or his president.
Or whoever, right, or his boss in Tom Coughlin. But you just say, so, like, wow. You just listen to the guy and you say, so, like, this whole thing, like, how seriously do you have to take the Jacksonville Jaguars? I can't. Between their former two-tone helmet and Jackson DeVille and Doug Marone and the tarps in the stadium and all of this, it's like, get your popcorn ready. Here comes the next big thing in the AFC. And, you know, here's the real test for the Patriots. I'm like, it's still freaking Jacksonville, man. It just is. I have a hard time with that franchise. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill, all offseason, the Jaguars seem to be talking a lot about the AFC Championship game. Jalen Ramsey, of course, came out, had some words about Gronk and some other players. Do you have to talk to your guys about not getting into a war of words with the Jaguars or having to deal with some of that back and forth?
Yeah, Ben. Well, let's look, we know when the game starts, and we'll be ready to go. I'm sure they will, too, and that's when we'll see what happens.
And again, I like that one too. I do. We've played that a million times, but I like it. It's Bill kind of sort of engaging on the, just the gauntlet laid down by the Jaguars. I don't know how else to describe it. And so how are the Pats going to handle this one? To me, the Gronk question is the one. To me, the Gronk question is the real question for the Patriots because you know. They don't want to be running him down the seam 4 or 5 times a game. They don't want to be pounding the ball into him, you know, week in, week out over the course of the regular season. The more you expose him, the more likely he is to go down. It's just he's that kind of player. It's been proven. And so there's got to be some sort of maintenance there with Rob Gronkowski over the course of the regular season. Yet this is a sort of a big challenge week. The individual player there calling out him. And you know they're going to be matched up one-on-one. And Bill's sort of engaging here a little bit as well. Does he want this game more than he normally would? Some week two game in a 16-week season. And so, like, that to me is the balance. What do they do with Gronkowski? How do they handle Gronkowski in this game? Wouldn't the smart thing be to go easy on Rob Gronkowski?
Sure, yeah. In the long term, the smart thing to do is to lay off with Gronk. But what if they plan to lay off him in the next 6 weeks? This is why. So I was rattling off the schedule to you earlier. What if he looks at it and says, we're going to lean on Gronk out of the gate.
Right.
And then after week two, we're going to really back off him.
Because we don't need him against Detroit. We don't need him against Miami at home, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't know. I mean, if Bill is managing an opponent to opponent, Jacksonville is one of the more important games on the schedule. Again, they went 10-6 last year. Can they go 11-5? If they can, and you think you're an 11-5 team, which a lot of people think the Patriots are, then you got to win the game. Because otherwise, if you play them in the playoffs, the game's at their place.
Okay, back to your phones. Here's Don in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Don.
Hello.
Hello, Don. What do you got for us today?
Look, I'm watching the show, and a couple days ago, Maz mentioned that on a 16-game schedule, he would take Rodgers over Brady. I was just kind of wondering, is he talking about now when he's 41 years old, or is he talking the last 8 or 10 years?
Now.
Now.
Don. You got to turn down your radio or your TV. I mean, that's really the question. If you ask who would you take if you sort of average out their level over the last 8 to 10 years, who would take Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady?
I don't think anybody would. I'd take Brady over anybody in the history of the game right now.
Of course. You couldn't.
His resume is unmatched. There's no one in the, you know, Montana's close, but no one else is in the same breath.
Right. So, like, that's not even an argument. It's at this exact moment with Aaron Rodgers at 35 or 6 or whatever.
I don't think he's even that old, is he?
Aaron Rodgers at 30 whatever and Tom Brady at 41. Yes, it's just so it's like, and those, like, I think those two have gone back and forth. I think 2010, 2011, you give the Rodgers was a better player those couple of years. He was. And then Tom Brady sort of when they drafted Garoppolo from 14, these last four, you know, he might have gone back ahead. Right now, I don't, you know, like, I think those two have sort of gone back and forth. But if you're averaging out over the whole balance of their careers, it's not even close. It's Brady. It's Brady over everybody. Tim in Hopkinton. Go ahead, Tim. What do you got?
Hey, boss. So I was just thinking about the whole Doug Marrone conversation. And that's the thing. If you really understand football and anything about coaching, you know, like the last guy who just went on a rant, there's not a lot of talent out there with coaching. If you can get yourself into an NFL you know, position as a coach, that's speaking volumes to, like, you've got to have something on your belt.
Of course, Tim. That goes without saying. We're grading him on the scale of his other coaches.
Yeah, well, it's a tough position to fill because, like, he's only been in the NFL with a real team for 2 seasons, and, you know, he's with the Bills, but the Bills suck. So, like, you can't really rate him on that, but give him another year or two, and I think he's going to be able to put them in the AFC Championship regularly.
Let's see.
He went 9-7 with the Bills.
Yes, he did.
I mean, I was just looking up his career, because my recollection was he went 9-7, and then I remember when he left, and I thought, who's going to hire this guy? Talk about overrating yourself.
Right. There's a contract thing, right?
Yeah, he opted out or something, something like that, and said, that's it, I'm out of here, I'm done. Maybe he knew more about Buffalo than we give him credit for. And I keep calling him McVay, and it's not McVay, it's the other
McDermott
in Buffalo. He went 9-7, and they wanted to build a statue with a guy, for crying out loud. So I don't know. Maybe Marone is better than we give him credit for. Maybe this whole, knucklehead act is just that, an act, and he actually is a clue.
Bob in Gloucester, what do you got for us on the NFL?
Yes, he went to Fordham also.
So what does that mean?
Well, I mean, that's all. I'm calling about the Channel 4 has Pittsburgh, Kansas City on at 1 o'clock before the Pats Sunday.
Uh-huh.
when they could show the Jets in Miami. Now, I got the DirecTV, so I'm watching Jets in Miami. But don't you think it's a little weird with the Jets in Miami being the Pats' arch rivals?
Sure, let me ask you, you'd rather get Jets Miami?
Well, I'm going to watch the Jets anyways. I get the DirecTV, so I don't care.
Okay.
But I'm watching the Jets. I'm a Jets fan, so I'm going to be watching the Jets.
Okay, gotcha, Bob. All right.
Pick KC. Way better game.
Someone's got $100. Ooh.
Way better game. Way better game.
I mean, not even close. And realistically.
But I thought they did have to beam in the AFC East games first. I guess that's no mas.
I don't think so. No, I think it's purely, isn't it the call of.
Well, then it is.
I mean, I look at it and I say, realistically, who's going to matter more to the Patriots in the long run? Pitt and KC or Miami and the Jets?
No question.
At least as 2018 is concerned.
Year, right.
I mean, that's the game you want to see. Those are the teams you could see in the playoffs. The Jets in Miami?
Ugh, no thanks.
I'll tell you what, the Jets intrigue me a little bit now because of the kid. Miami? You can go to hell with that. And I don't mean that literally. But Miami, like.
Bob, don't go to hell.
I have no interest in watching Miami. Zero. That team does not interest me.
0.0.
I mean, other than the Bills, there's no team in the division I'd rather watch less than Miami.
We're going to transition to a little bit of baseball here coming up in a second. So we got just a minute or two before the top of the hour. So I'm just going to shoehorn this in real quick because there was a major trade in the NHL today. Erik Karlsson, the defenseman there in Ottawa, going to San Jose. Brian Fitchburg wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Brian.
So I'm not sure if it's Geico or some other commercial where the guys walk around and he's got the fleece jacket on and they get hosed.
He got fleeced.
But I tell you right now, San Jose just hosed, fleeced, and pulled the bag over the Ottawa GM and punched him in the face. How does he just get Erik Karlsson for all that bucket of crap listed in Chris Tierney and prospects that aren't going to amass to nothing?
It's insane.
How did we not get in on that? With a bucket of crap that's not going to come up here, like Jake Zboro and Uusi Vakanainen and all that stuff down in Providence. We couldn't have fleeced Ottawa for Karlsson, even throwing in Ryan Donato.
So let me ask you, Brian, or let me tell you, Brian, I think it would have been hard to make that trade in the division. I don't think they would have done that in the division.
They sent him to the other conference.
They sent him to the other conference. They sent him to the other side of the country, the other conference, so he's out of their hair. Would they have made the same deal in division? I doubt it, but who the hell knows? Murray, do you have the trade parameters again up in front of you?
Yeah. So it's a bunch of people you've never heard of.
I mean, talk about your classic ponies for a horse. Go ahead.
Center Chris Tierney, defenseman Dylan DeMello, prospects Josh Norris and Rudolph Balkers, a conditional 2019 second-round draft pick and a conditional 2020 first-round draft pick.
And that's it?
Yeah.
So no other conditional picks. That's it.
The picks may change, apparently, if they have they sign him to an extension, if they sign Karlsson to an extension, but not by much.
It'll be so it's either a first or a second. Maybe it become two firsts, which I'll still tell you. Well, first of all, here's my first takeaway. It's a deal so bad that even Peter Chiarelli looked at it and said, boy, you didn't get enough. But that being said, at least Ottawa got some draft picks back for their bucket of crap. You, when you traded Tyler Seguin, all you got was the bucket of crap. And not even a draft pick. At least Ottawa has a first and, well, the sound of it, maybe two firsts if he signs coming back.
No, actually, in fact, if he signs it, they'll receive a conditional 2021 second round selection. So they only get another 2021 second rounder if they end up extending him.
So it's a first and a conditional second.
Yeah.
Okay, so fine. That's crappy. But at least you got a first and a second back. Chiarelli got no picks back. You trade Tyler saying you don't get a single pick back? You know how dumb that is?
Oh, gosh. It was, you know, I'm not defending that trade. That trade sucked. This one, this is, again, to me, you can slice these up however you want. Because San Jose is going to be good. Those picks are going to be late.
So, okay, now that's the other thing, is that even though you get those picks back, San Jose's going to be picking 25 or lower. It feels like it. Brent Burns and Eric Carlson on their D-Core.
And Ty Anderson, who writes for our website, obviously, 985thesportshub.com, said in the hallway a little while ago, they're both right shot guys. Right, right?
So the one's on one pairing, the other's on the second?
Boom.
Are you kidding me? So that's just ridiculous maybe some of those guys are prospects, like legit prospects. Maybe one of those or two of those guys were just a recent first-round pick that's supposed to be really good. I don't know. But, wow. Wow, what a trade for San Jose. It's good for the Bruins. That guy's out of your hair. That guy's nasty. And Ottawa, rebuilding. Montreal, rebuilding. So the top of the division with Tampa, you know, better than you. Toronto, tough. But the bottom, there should be some winnable games in there.
The Bruins will make the playoffs anyway.
Well, let's hope. Even though they are still too young. We've got some Red Sox thoughts for you coming up right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.